Testing French. French test. French toast. 1, 2. Testing French. French testing. 1, 2. I'm going to switch it up on you and go French testing 9-10. Spanish testing 1-2. We are testing the taco truck. Spanish test 1-2. Talking to French. French 1-2. Testing the hamburgers and hot dogs channel.
Have we got the AC open, the remote? He's going to lure anyone in there? Because to be honest, I can't see that. But any glasses, I might do. she's in?
Yeah.
Have we checked audio so she can talk?
Okay, let me check.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We will be starting shortly. My name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, and we've got an echo coming from somebody's equipment, so they'll fix that before we go live. If I could get a sound check from remote participants, please. Ganella, could you try bringing an audio in for me? Okay, is it that you need to have a dial out, or what is stopping you speaking? Can you obviously not tell me, but can you type? Okay, well, staff will message you, and we'll try setting it up because we've got a phone bridge as well, which will be the normal 1-800-809-902 code 1638 from Australia. But we could dial out to you, and I'm not sure what system you use, but there's usually a choice of connect my microphone. Oh, sorry, Ganella, I apologise. I am misleading you. You're now saying I know yet again, Cheryl. today's AC room does not have that set up, so no, we'll get you connected to the phone bridge. One moment. Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Accessibility Task Force meeting in whatever country I'm in, America, Los Angeles. That's where we are this time. And we're just fixing up one or two technical issues. We've got a couple of dial-outs to make sure some of our remote participants are engaged with us as best as possible. If you can't be in the room, we're doing our best to make sure that you are a full and active participant. It's all about minimising barriers here today. For the record, my name is Cheryl Langdon Orr, and what I would like to do, and you'll notice all of a sudden my hypermania has gone down to a lower and slower level of speaking, which is great relief to the interpreters in the booths behind me. Because this is an accessibility work group, I want to prevail upon you to talk in a slow, modulated, and timed, carefully manner, because unless we get used to doing this, so if people are signing or doing other forms of interpretation, even if it's talk to text, that there is time for things like captioning to stay in vague alignment, if not perfect synchronicity, with what we're saying. So this is one of those, even though it's morning, this is not the fact that it's morning that I'm speaking slowly and carefully. This is how, if I can do it, you can do it. This is how I would like everyone to try very, very hard. The normal rules apply. Every time you speak, this is for the record, please state your name. It makes a huge difference, not to us in this room, but to the transcription that is created later. And those transcriptions are formed in several languages. So unless you want the transcript to look like man, woman says, man says, woman says, man says, to put your name into the beginning of what you're going to say is a really good habit to get into. There is one possible exception. You may, in fact, for example, if I was to say, so over to you, Sylvia, clearly I've introduced that it's you about to speak, and that gives the captioning and transcription people enough time to work it out. On the apologies front today, I don't know if we received any formal apology, staff. No? Okay, well, we will accept them in a timely manner if people have gone, oh, I forgot to get here, we'll note your regrets. Today's particular focus is on our chart, and if I can just get, if you don't mind, Ariel, to keep moving up again, we might need to shrink it. If you're in the Adobe Connect room, I would like to see that perhaps you perhaps share the screen or something so we can focus on these things. The aspirational document that we have as a group, all agreed, hold at least a good set of beginning points for ICANN to become a high quality accessibility, I'm going to say entity, mostly we would say business, but entity. Is getting these things checklisted off is going to make a huge difference for ICANN to be able to say we are working to make sure barriers to participation are as minimal as possible. And that's really our aim, to facilitate and assist ICANN to become a best practice model. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, we know. So as some of you who will have been in one of two of the working group calls in recent times will recognise, we've dissected out the primary aims here. Some of them are very lofty, some of them are very simple, but they all need to be dealt with. And what we've managed to do so far is take a stab at filling out a which you will see in the AC room or here in the room projected on the far right. And let me apologise now. I know we're probably not using... Let me start that sentence again. I know we probably don't have anyone currently using a text-to-speech facility, but one of the things, Laura, we need to look at in work groups is making sure that things like our charts can have a text-to-speech, because it would be very easy when I say the right-hand column for the following to move and get to that. So there's just little things. We need to look at how we present those things. But that's probably a bit further down the track. For now, I shall just describe that on the right-hand column, we have already allocated, and thank you for all of your time that you spend putting these together, a priority, a time frame, our assessed level of effort. Okay? We've already got those allocated. What normally happens with wish lists is they're all the most important thing. So we need to do some other clever analysis on these particular desirables. So what we're going to do today is we're going to actually have a breakout session. And I did have three whiteboards yesterday, but apparently they're like hen's teeth and very rare things, and now there's only two. But that's okay, because we're going to leave our right-hand column, our priorities column, up on display, and we are going to into two sections. We're going to do what's called a strength, weakness, opportunity, and she's lost the threat. Thank you. See, I don't think, see, threat, me, don't understand. The word just doesn't make it anyway. A SWOT analysis. We're also on the other whiteboard, pardon me, flip chart, going to do a SMART analysis. And at the end of all of this, and SMART is simple, measurable, achievable, something untimely, realistic, there we are, another thing that doesn't work well with me, realistics and threats, realistic and timely. And when we then look at how those three columns do or do not align after today's exercise, we should be able to have for ICANN a set of this is what the community thinks. Now, can we do an audit and see what we are able to do, what we aren't able to do, what we have to put off to 2016 or whatever? So that's the aim of today's game. Before we get a little bit too far down the track. I just wanted to bring up something that came up, I think, in our last meeting, our last teleconference, and that was the need for us as a task force in the community to know, and I'm waving at you because this is your cue, that to know what ICANN is already doing. Because like many very diversely interest group designed organisations, there is a risk that one part of ICANN hasn't told the other part of ICANN that in fact they're already doing some of this or all of this. So we said we would like to have some sort of audit, and of course the staff commitment to this exercise is so strong and so true and so huge that both Chris Mondini and Laura were able to meet with me on Friday and say, oh, look, this is what we've been up to, Cheryl. Do you want us to share any of this? So without even being asked, we've got some of this ready. And if I could just toss to you now, and you can bring us up to speed, and I can have a sip of water. Over to you, Laura.
Hello, everybody. This is Laura Binkford speaking on the record. I'm a product manager. I work in online community services. I've been working with Chris Mondini, Chris Gift, and others at ICANN on the website. And very forefront to that is looking at the accessibility tools for that website. So I have a brief, just couple of slides to give you an update on what we're working on in that area. Ariel, if you could present those up for the meeting group, that would be terrific. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me okay? Is that better?
That's good.
Thank you. Not too used to all this technology. Right. So wanted to just give you a quick update on what we're working on with our web tools for not only ICANN.org, but there's several other efforts that you may be aware of, such as the at-large website makeover. So I wanted to give you an update on what we're going to be issuing pretty shortly in terms of an RFP and some of the work that we're doing on the website. So I'd like to just go through and review and get any feedback from you all on the goals of what we're going to be issuing, our idea of what the process and timeline for that is going to be, and how we'd like to put together a governance model for that, what the team might look like, as well as putting together the RFP. It's going to be what we refer to as a simple RFP, and what the next steps are. So first of all, when we talk about the goals for the RFP, we've talked about this in prior working group meetings. Let me pause for Cheryl.
RFP? Could you give us long form before we use short
yes,
form?
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. RFP is a request for proposal, and we do this when we don't have internal expertise at ICANN, and we need to issue out an RFP that would be open on the website, and we ask for vendors, and we have a list of vendors that are experts in this area, but obviously we want to open this up, particularly to this group, with the expertise that we have in the room and on the call here today in the group. So the primary goal of this RFP would obviously be to perform an assessment of our website, ICANN.org, with the goal of meeting the W3C accessibility guidelines. They're called version 2.0. Level AA is the particular rating that we're shooting for. That is a goal and a target. It is just something that helps guide us in terms of what we're trying to achieve. And what we'd like to be doing is performing an identification of tools that might help us. We've already started to look at some of these tools, and some of you in this working group have helped out in this regard, what the process might be and the strategy for implementing these. It's a very long process to remediate a website for accessibility, and so part of the process is going to be coming up with a strategy that we can all agree upon. And secondary, we don't want to just look at ICANN.org. We have many subsidiary websites, as I mentioned, at large is getting ready to do their makeover. So we really want to keep in mind, yes, Cheryl's doing a little cheer here in the room, for the other sites that are coming. And we know there's a need in the community and with the various working groups and advisory committees and supporting organizations to have that ability as well. So we want to keep that in mind as a secondary goal, is to make sure that these tools can apply across all of our web properties. And I just a quick little side note at the bottom. I did want to let you know we have been using A-Checker. Glenn McKnight reached out and already provided some information on some tools as we were rolling out our upgraded search recently, as well as some other remediation. And so we actually are already in the process of doing some of that remediation, and we'll be updating the group as that moves forward. So this is an idea of what the timeline might be. We're kind of kicking it off. We would have a steering committee, and I have a little slide on how we would work with this group for that. We would look to prepare the RFP. It's going to take a few weeks to do that, so that might take us to around mid-November. We would put the RFP up November 17th through December 5th, so we'll have it up on the website and issued for vendors and folks to respond to that and submit in their proposals, and then we'll go through an evaluation. And we have a pretty good process at ICANN for reviewing RFPs, so we're just going to be using our standard process, taking us up right before the holidays, and then looking at contracting and implementation starting the beginning of next year. So that's kind of what the timeline might look like. Anyone has any feedback on that? It may not be exactly that timeline, but I thought it was important for this group to kind of hear what kind of timing we're looking at, as Cheryl's already kind of mentioned, as we're going through SMART and SWOT and kind of looking at timing. We have to kind of understand timing a little bit in order for us to prioritize.
This is Cheryl for the record. Laura's asking for any feedback at this point. Anybody on the Adobe Connect? Murray from Toronto is asking, is there already a set budget for this initiative?
We do have budget for this activity in this RFP. It's not unlimited, of course, but we do have budget.
Thank you, Laura. I just lost audio, but that's all right. Thank you, Laura. This is Cheryl speaking, and that was Laura speaking. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, Judith has got a more of a tech question, if staff could attend to that. Thank you very much. It looks like that's the points for now, so back to you.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. This is Laura Bingford speaking for the record again. I have a slide up that just talks about the governance model. This is not meant to be a fancy thing, but I want to just highlight at the top that we would view this working group in kind of an advisory role here. And what we would like to ask is if we could have maybe two members from this working group assist us with this effort. That would be very helpful in terms of looking at the RFP as we're drafting it and helping us in particular with the evaluation effort. So we do have a procurement team at ICANN, and we would have the core team. And on the next slide, I'll just kind of put up real quickly what that would kind of look like. Myself and Vivek, who's our procurement director at ICANN, would be on the core team. The advisory working group and the two members that we would have you guys help us select would be in an advisory role. And then we would have Heidi, Chris Mondini, Chris Gift, and Duncan as our steering committee to make sure we're going off in the right direction there. So that's it for me, and happy to take any questions now or offline you can reach me at ICANN or around this week for the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. This is Cheryl for the record, and I am delighted and I'm extremely happy in giving you a round of applause. One of the questions, of course, for us was that you would like two members to assist you. Can we have some concept of the type of time commitment and the nature of the meetings? Because if I give you someone with particular expertise, they may in fact come with particular challenges for communication.
Yes, this is Laura Bingford speaking again for the record. The primary activity that we would be looking for would be participating in a meeting perhaps once a week, and also being able to help us prepare or answer any questions that might come up in kind of a review advisory role.
Cheryl, for the record, thank you very much. I think that knowing what we're asking people to do is a big part of getting you the right people. When do you want these willing...
I would love to kick this effort off at the beginning of November. So if we could get two members that would be willing to help us participate in this, we would start the kickoff for this effort with those two members in place.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As a show for the record, that was Laura again. And I'm going to just... This is the time when people realise it's dangerous to be within arm's reach. The visual here for you, ladies and gentlemen, is me reaching out and touching Anthony very firmly on the shoulder, giving him a squeeze, saying that this arm now needs to come up. So Anthony has very, very generously now, surprise enough to him, I must say, exactly, but there's payback going on between he and I now. We've got a little thing happening. So if you would like Anthony's expertise, and that will bring not only a huge amount of professional expertise, but of course some variation on some of the accessibility themes, because there's also particular physical disability expertise that Anthony will be bringing you. Now, Ganella, you are out of reach, darling, but that doesn't mean that you can escape. The name Ganella Usbrink would be the next one I would like to suggest goes on that list. If you have an objection, let me know now, Ganella. And I'm waiting. Where are we? At least one person should have significant disabilities such as blindness. Well, Ganella, do you have someone in your area that has that you can recommend? I mean, you because I know you and working in the system. Remember, this is an advisory board. You can probably bring in expertise. So, again, I would see you as a viable conduit to a range of visual and, indeed, hearing disabilities. So can I prevail upon you? Well, okay, Judith is suggesting Haben, who is on the ISOC San Francisco Bay chapter. She is blind. Okay, Judith... I am only hesitating in as much as I do like to know the people I'm working with. These are weekly calls. These are demanding tasks, and these are, this is not to be taken lightly. So I'm wondering, Judith, if it might be that we could ask, a greater engagement from Haben, so that we get to know the degree of effort and energy that they put into tasks. And I'm not trying to be critical here, but I'm not going to buy a product that I haven't seen either. Pardon the pun there. Ganella is saying she is willing to to step in here, but it would need to. Some of the meetings would need to be in time zone friendly times for Australia. Now that usually means earlier morning here, no, earlier morning there is later afternoon. Yes. Gisela knows. I just leave it to Gisela. Gisela will sort the time out and tell you when that's going to be suitable. And that's probably not a bad way. So what I'm going to say, Judith, is let's have Anthony and Gunilla as our major conduits into this activity, right? Now, as conduits into this activity, whilst they're sitting at the table and attending the calls, we expect both of them to reach out to all of us and the wider community, our community, right? So we as a group should be getting, you know, Jerry and Hubbard and anyone else that we can engaged and possibly doing calls, you know, every fortnight to bring people up to speed or whatever. So we'll organise ourselves in a little support subgroup, okay? And I think that's probably the best way to go. So we obviously need to expand if we're now going to have more and more of our task force, who are already busy people anyway, asked to, and they should be, stepping in to do other little things. And this is exactly what we want to do. Don't think I'm being negative. We need to have people who are able to assist. But let's start with a couple of people we know and who I can pick on if they're not doing the job right. They won't be surprised that, you know, I'll slap out. Touché, yes. Okay, so I think that's settled. If everyone else is comfortable with that, we will, however, have to do not only our task force group meetings, we will have to do some support meetings for our two that are the conduits into that. So is there anything else we can do for you?
No, thank you very much. This is Laura Bangford. Appreciate that, Anthony, Gunilla, and the folks online. Thank you.
Terrific. All right. Cheryl, for the record, again. I can't see the agenda. I don't know where it is in my world of whatever. So what am I supposed to be doing next? There we are. Thank you, dear. No, that's not the agenda. I just want to know which bits I've missed because I've jumped around a tad. Thank you. It's another good reason to have Anthony there because he'll pick up and pass me things. Okay, we're going to straight into our breakout session now, which is going to be now only about 33, 35 minutes long, okay? Our primary objective, we will be gathering around two separate whiteboards. One of those whiteboards is going to be looking at the SMART analysis of all our primary objectives. The other is going to be looking at the SWOT analysis of all those primary objectives. And I'm thinking I might prevail upon Laura and Chris to take a whiteboard each, because apart from the fact that if I write on a whiteboard, nobody can understand what it is. If you've heard the conversation that comes up with the measurement, it may also assist later if you think, now, what was the task force meaning when we wrote down that? So could I ask you to just indulge me a little bit and work a whiteboard each, a flipboard each? That would be great. We are going to, Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, be able to see both whiteboards. Excellent. So remote participants, I will act as conduit for you into the room. So I will have my tablet with me, pardon me, and if you want to put a ranking or a proposal or a suggestion as we work in separate groups, I will try this is SMART for, and just say which recommendation it is. So I'll act as your conduit into the room, and we will run now until 5 minutes towards the top of the hour, when we will gather back together, see what we've got left to do, and get another meeting set up. Okay. Now, a little bit of a hiatus while we get to the whiteboards and get the cameras, but let's get started. Thank you.
This is Chris Mondini. Are we doing it as a complete group, or we're dividing into two? Okay.
Dividing into two, and two here, and I don't care if you spend 5 minutes, not you two, Anthony can spend 5 minutes here and then say, oh, and I want a SMART over there. So two topics.
And can we just see the list again?
Yes, indeed.
This is Chris Mondini. The reason I'm asking is I just wanted to point out to members of the meeting that I asked Nancy Lupiano, an esteemed leader of our meetings team, to
meetings
also be...
Meetings don't happen without Nancy.
Exactly. To be present in case that we had any questions or is anything that she could contribute to. And I wonder if there are things on the list that she would want to comment on.
I'm absolutely sure there are, and I'm going to take a couple of minutes now to go and sit with Nancy and show her our list.
Okay. Thank you.
Right now we're working, and when I finish working, at the end of the meeting, as I do at the end of every meeting, I will go through the action items.
Okay, great, thanks. You good there, Cheryl?
Sure.
Oh. Your mic's working.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to be clear, I'm going to get a second mic. And I'm going to give a mic to each whiteboard. Are we clear? Laura, have you offended people? Why are you just... You're just you and Dave, eh? They need more people. Come on.
Cheryl Giesler for the transcript,
terrific.
If I may. Please remember we have... I can see Sylvia Herline Leiter and Alberto Sotto.
And me.
No, who speaks Spanish.
Yep.
So we have live interpretation, and if anything needs to be interpreted, it needs to be said into the microphone. Otherwise, Sylvia and Alberto will not know what's being said. So just a reminder, please. Thank you.
Okay. So I need Laura to have that microphone. Oh, so you've decided smart, have you? Definitely. And
everything you can through the microphone, because we still have
interpretation going. So, can we be talking at the same time with two microphones there?
So you two will have to be clear.
Just see, Chris and Laura, just see what you want on record. Sylvia understands more than Alberto. And it's also just what you want to capture on record.
Thank you.
I think.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
We say it into this. Thank you.
So when you're summing up and deciding to be fine and putting it somewhere, that's what you have to get.
Well, I'm so worried you're going to step on this.
Oh, no, I'm blocking
this.
It.
You're okay?
I'm very aware
of it. All right.
I'm being the barrier.
Step on this, you have no objection.
So who has the list?
I've got the list.
Right.
So the first task on the list, building a culture of accessibility. Item listed is stock take of what ICANN already does to address accessibility.
Can you read down a couple more? Let's just see.
Stock take of what ICANN already does to address accessibility.
Oh, I see it's on here now. They've just put it up. Disability Awareness Toolkit. Stock take of what the domain name industry does to address accessibility, disability awareness training, keynotes.
So guys, you see the first item? That's the first one you're doing on
mm-hmm.
SMART. Stock take on what ICANN already does to address accessibility. So again, we have a lot that covers.
Okay, so what would be...
The question is, do we have something that already not yet exists? What ICANN does.
It does, I don't think it exists in one place.
Okay, so then it would be specifically identifying what ICANN has that currently does.
Yeah, so there's a number.
Okay.
And measurable would be, okay, then... Is what is what would be okay? Do they have something right now? You want to ID what ICANN does, and to measure that is what currently exists.
So it's the first thing. We won't really be able to measure unless we have do it two different times, two different tests. So do something for now in a way that you can do it in the future and measure the difference, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Even if something we have now, we already can measure the benefit of this.
Okay, well,
and if it's not beneficial, we just don't continue either using it or not, because it should be similar.
So you would like, we do the stock take of what ICANN already does to address accessibility, and then Sirenush have like a score of how effective it is, or
yes.
So maybe add effectiveness, as something to comment on in this stock take. Okay.
And what makes it achievable is okay. This is a list of what we currently use, and bringing that back to the group. So kind of like going to another outcome, but having another outcome. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very achievable. Okay. Do we think, I mean, I think this is going to be largely a staff exercise, right? In terms, it's the working group. Okay. So we'll do it as a group and bring it back to the group. But we're talking about making a list, essentially, so that's very achievable. I think it's realistic. I mean, what are we answering? Is the question what makes it realistic, or how do we make it realistic?
In terms of this here, if you're going to try to achieve this topic, is it realistic that you set our goals?
Okay, so things that will affect, I mean, do we have a time frame? Or... I guess that's the third analysis, time frame and level of effort, right?
That's another analysis column that we did. So realistic would be okay. When we look at, because the IRPs are going to be part of the process, we would want to look at, okay, with these lists that would come up, do we have enough time to include this feedback or whatever list to come up in the IRP process?
So it depends a little bit on the timeline, the availability of people to do the work. Okay. Or what are we doing, tangible or tactics? So it's a list. We're ending up with a list, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're ending up with something we all have in our hands. Okay. So that's our stock take, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
The disability awareness toolkit to be developed for general staff and then for the registrars.
Okay, so.
So in this case, what we would need to identify is what are the needs of the registrars and registrars. That's something that we may not know at this time when it comes to a disability awareness. How many of them? So maybe it could be identifying those that are familiar with accessibility issues, which is going to take a lot more time than
that. Well, and there's two here listed. There's the general one for ICANN staff and for at-large, and then there's one for the registrar, the DNS sector. So the purpose of the toolkit, is it to make people who are new to the topic aware of how to conduct their work differently, or
I think it's to raise the question of, do you understand what accessibility is? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with accessibility standards that are out there?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not familiar, then the specific would be creating a toolkit to improve the awareness of registrars,
So the first thing we really need to do is measure how aware the different parties are.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, just breaking in, can I ask you leaders to give a bit more feedback out through your mics? This is not a good exercise for the remote participants, please.
Okay, is this mic on? So this is Chris Mondini for the remote participants doing the SMART analysis. We examined the first item on the list, which is a stock take of what ICANN already does to address accessibility. We thought it was a very specific goal because it's essentially a list identifying what ICANN does. It can be measured in two ways. It could be measured over time if we do it more than once, any differences or changes or improvements. But it could also be measured with an analysis assessment of how effective each of the items on the list is. It's being achievable depends on the availability of this group and being able to bring the list back to the group. And we're saying that is it realistic depends on the people's availability to participate, and it depends on the timeline that we establish to do it. And again, for the stock take of what ICANN does, we think it's a very tangible thing because it will be a very, it'll be essentially be a list, be a document. And so now we're moving on to a disability awareness toolkit to be developed both for ICANN staff and community and for the registrar community, which is harder, I think. I think if we do the stock take, that will make the diversity awareness toolkit for staff and general community easier because there'll be something to communicate. I think for the registrar community, that's a much higher bar. So I'd like people's opinion on what a specific outcome for that would be. Right. Well, so let's take it down to the next one and talk about the domain name industry, which really is mainly registries and registrars. Do we think that there's a specific awareness toolkit that they require or that would be helpful to them?
I raised a point yesterday in one of the meetings about accessibility at the beaches. And the question was, or the response seemed to be that will there be no need? Which was not the response I anticipated, that there's no need. Because the industry would change if all the people that run the root service were visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if they were physically disabled, or if they were intellectually disabled. So it's raising... Well, yeah, it's raising the level of awareness that the DNS needs to really focus, not focus, but ensure that accessibility is part of their discussion at all levels. Without that discussion, then it becomes an afterthought later on, and we know what happens to afterthoughts. Is they end up costing us more. So for the DNS industry, it's looking at, okay, let's talk about it now so it doesn't cost us more later. So when we're looking at the, do we know what they're doing? Do we know what level of understanding they have? People are aware of the term accessibility, but do they really know what it is? And I think that would be one of the specific items is to ask them, do you know what accessibility is? And do you have an understanding of how to make the DNS area that you're looking at accessible? Because then that raises their specific issues around accessibility.
It's clear cut because we have to first pose the question and see what the answer comes back, because you might get a very strong response from the registry as the registrar
right.
That says, this has nothing to do with us, why are you even talking to us?
Right.
In which case, I think we need to do this first before we can
but I mean, the stock take might be a big zero.
Registries do, essentially, they're already doing this as part of the energy trading programs. They introduce spaces where things, spaces that are more accessible and can access alternatives to the spaces that have like long domain names, and they're not really accessible. So to say, if you have new spaces in which you can create identifiers, and you have a greater freedom to organize them, so it becomes accessible to others.
Yeah, I have to go in a second, yeah, because I've got too many, two others.
I think we've done this column, which would be...
Exactly, okay, and you can send me emails and ask any specifics you want.
And make sure that...
I know,
thank you. So the people of the group put this list together that was focused on people that we have access to as they come to ICANN meetings, but I think that there's a whole ecosystem out there that we're not
browsers, software. The interesting thing is that they also fundamentally affect policies of people who do not consider themselves to have accessibility problems. In fact, and that is everybody. And probably the biggest accessibility problem that we all deal with is the ability of our own brain to have to figure out where we have to go and remember things rather than depend on somebody else who's actually directing us. And they may be not directing us to where we are. And the same high business of the main name of the industry is totally in an advertising way.
Yeah, because when you talked about space, it raised up two points for me. The first point is looking at the virtual environment. Is the virtual environment accessible? The second point is within the industry itself, the physical environment, if they employ people with disabilities, is a physical space also accessible? Because if the physical space is not accessible, then the virtual space becomes inaccessible.
I agree. We'll say, wouldn't we have to look at the alternative replacing a person rather than serve accessibility challenge, whether or not, is actually cheaper. And to do that, it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to have line of pilots.
Right.
It's cheaper to say that relying on a pilot is not one.
Right. Yeah, it comes down to the cost effectiveness. As opposed to really being inclusive, it comes down to cost.
No, but she, because she didn't put it in the format, we didn't see it.
We can see it.
Hang on, they're instructed to me. So we've got, it's outcome for the domain name industry is a key to improve access with Monica. Sorry for interrupting. We just have a Gisela for the transcript. We have a comment from Ganella on the AC. Hang on. And the comment I can see is outcome for the domain name industry is a key to improved accessibility for the wider community.
Accessibility trigger and policy development. What does an accessibility trigger mean? It's up right now.
Gisela for the transcript again. So Ganella's comment is outcome for the domain name industry is a key to improved accessibility for the wider community.
Yeah, that's it. This is Chris Mondini, and we're struggling a little bit with, because we are seeing the domain name industry as a conduit, as a route to the wider community of software developers, browser creators, and other enabling services. So as in terms of what we're doing on our specific, on our SMART analysis, that this very specific step to take would be to ask, I think that would take the form of asking someone on our working group to ask the question, whether it's a survey or an informal mailing to a sampling of the registries and registrars that we know that are active in ICANN, that at least know that this work is going on. And then we would record, the measurable outcome would be to record what they do now. It may, we don't know what they do now, but it's what's hard is that we have to do those two steps first before I think we can do do the rest.
But we can go to tactics. And say,
well, it's not a strength at the moment, because it isn't.
What is their feedback on the discussion of accessibility in the DNS?
It's a threat in the sense that it potentially delays policy development.
Well, and maybe even, so we talked about, I talked about a survey, but maybe what you're suggesting, Anthony, is gather a group of them to have a small conversation on the topic.
Start with the survey and add a session for them to provide the feedback. Is there something that we may not have covered or something that you see that should be addressed in the whole accessibility discussion?
Not quite sure.
Okay.
So it's probably
I just wondered about the possibility of looking for even one or two champions, because there are a couple of industry players who've already gone to great lengths to ensure that they have highly accessible and it's baked into the DNA of their organisation. So perhaps we could find and recognise, that's always good to do some recognition, of champions, and that might be a little inspiration as well.
Okay, so for tactics, I've got gathering inputs through a survey, inviting the survey participants to provide feedback, convening a discussion, and Cheryl's last point was look for champions and celebrate the champions. I wonder if this group could also look among the many new GTLD applicants. There are some which are from community groups and from NGOs, but I don't know if any of those are NGOs or community groups that whose remit encompasses accessibility issues. But that could be something that we do as a tactic as well.
Policy development. We know that. Oh, that's all I can.
For the remote observers, we're going to be doing the SWOT analysis, and Maureen, will you be doing the summary? We'll do a close-up on this panel, and we'll do a summary of the using the strengths, weakness, opportunities and threats. So we only have a few minutes, just a couple of seconds, and we'll be ready.
Thank you, Glenn, for that. I'm not sure if anyone can hear me in the room. It's Murray.
We can hear you, but they can't hear us. Only the phone switch.
How much time do we have?
Indeed, we can hear you in the room, or we can hear you in our headsets as well. But just to reassure you, your voices can be heard, but you're not coming in over the room because we've got open mics. So if you're going to talk to us, we have to close the mics here, okay? Do you want to make a statement now?
Okay, so let's get the camera on this one. Okay, if we can get the camera on this one here. Guys, you have to move away so I can get the camera on it. Okay, so Maureen, are you going to do a summary on this? Okay, so...
Okay, at the moment, we've actually been looking through the list and we've come across, of the list that we had, we actually saw like only one of the list that actually sort of like we identified as a strength. Yes, we only identified one as a strength, and that was the fact that employment of staff within developed countries, which
usually have their own have accessibility policies and that, so that people with disabilities do actually get an opportunity for employment. I think that when we're actually looking at a lot of the activities too, we tried to look at things that could be seen to be more positive and to be seen as opportunities. They may be weaknesses, but we sort of like saw too that they could be opportunities. And that was, first of all, was to do with a stock take of, stock take of
what ICANN already is doing.
Oh, yes, that's right. We said, yeah, what's the stock take of what ICANN is already doing at the moment. We saw that as an opportunity. We also saw toolkits that to be developed in relation to two of the issues that were in the list. Also, keynote speakers as people with disabilities as keynote speakers, we saw that as an opportunity, not taken advantage of as well as it could be at the moment. The showcasing sort of like people with disabilities and their and the innovations that are used for people with disabilities was also seen as an opportunity. We also felt that within policy development, there isn't as such enough emphasis put into accessibility within policy development at the moment, but we saw that that was an important inclusion in all development of policy. And, of course, the website at the moment is being looked at, and accessibility is seen to be an important inclusion. Some weaknesses, we didn't see any threats. We didn't come across anything that we thought was a threat, but we definitely felt that there were some weaknesses, and perhaps within the domain name industry and catering for people with disabilities, that could be worked on a little bit more. More awareness training of the needs of people with disabilities in the various areas to do with domain names and IP addresses. We did not feel that there were accessibility champions with, high-level champions who will influence accessibility issues, and also that we felt, in contrast to the strengths of employment of staff in developed countries, we just felt that employment of staff in developing countries was an issue.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll go back to...
Okay. I know time is our enemy, but we've made a very, very good start. I want to turn off the mics in here now. Chris, can you turn off? Because whilst those of us that were wearing ears could hear what the people on the phone bridge were saying, those of you who don't have ears connected were not. So, turning off the mics here now, and I'd like to hear from at least three of our remote participants, please. Over to you. Let's go with Murray, then Judith, then Gunilla.
Yes, good morning, everyone in Los Angeles. This is Murray speaking from Toronto. If you can hear me, Murray, maybe you can wave at the camera. I'm assuming everyone can hear me. So we see the accessibility whiteboard at the moment. Thank you very much. And having the camera on the whiteboard is really useful for us. I threw a couple of comments in the chat. I think the most important one is syncing the audio and video. I find dial-outs are very good for audio, and it came through very clearly here. So I'm just commenting on the process, not the content. And I'll turn it over to one of my other participants. Thank you.
I can have Gunilla go before me.
Okay, Judith, thanks. Look, I can't comment really on the SWOT and the SMART process because as a remote participant, it was not possible for me to participate. I'm referring back to the original set of objectives and actions, which mostly I put together in the Singapore meeting, and I look forward to seeing how they go. But I am disappointed that I couldn't participate more fully in this process. That's number one, and the other comment I wish to make is that the disability movement has a motto saying nothing about us without us, and when it comes to the Web Accessibility RFP committee, it's great to have Anthony and myself as community members there, but while I'm a member of Women with Disabilities Australia, I still believe we need to have a person at the table who has a significant disability that will benefit specifically from web accessibility, and you know, that's either deaf people or blind people. And Judith has raised a suggestion about a particular person from the San Francisco Bay Area ISOC chapter who is a member of ICANN, and I would strongly support her being the third community member on that RFP working group. Thank you.
This is Judith Hallison for the record, and I support everything that Gunilla said. It's been very difficult to participate in this area because we couldn't really see the charts clearly and we couldn't really see what was going on. But I do agree we do need someone who's blind or deaf on that committee and we testing out things. And so if someone could reach out, maybe she would love to join the committee or maybe talk to someone from this San Francisco Bay, so that way she can get them involved. So that's my comments. Thanks so much, and hopefully we could have go forward from these.
We've made a best effort. We can only do better. I will defer and discuss with staff the question of bringing in Hadeb. Anyway, I'll get the name right once Judith sends me her details. I'm a member of San Francisco Bay Internet Society, so I certainly will be following up, fear not. I'll talk with Laura. It may very well be that I'll ask one of the currently appointed individuals to step back from a role and put her in if it's untenable to have any more than two. So if we can't get the three we want, we'll get the best we can. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for this effort. We will capture this. It is, however, just one step along the pathway. We now need to continue to do this online. We will set up a SWOT and a SMART chart in the wiki space, and I would like you all for homework assignments to now continue on this good work and energy and bring anybody else who you feel has a valuable point of view into what will be an intersessional set of work practices. We will also be holding meetings more regularly. That is on our agenda to sort out now. We will do that online. Thank you, linesmen. Thank you, ball boys. Thank you, tech team. You have been incredible by working on the fly, and at least we can only do better next time. And thank you, interpreters, as ever. We would be so ineffective without you. Bye for now.